As was announced, our scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
We are engaged at this time in a series of lessons entitled, Choose You This Day. And obviously, through the name of this series of lessons, you realize that the emphasis is simply on making choices or making decisions. And that is something that we all have to do. Regardless of whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, we all have decisions to make. In fact, life is about making decisions every day of our life. We have to make decisions. And as the people of God, of course, we should be especially mindful of the importance of making good and healthy decisions, godly decisions that will bring glory to God and further the cause of Christ here on earth. In other words, we have to make sure that our decisions are discretionary and deliberate, that we're very careful about the decisions that we make so far as our living is concerned. I remember what the wise man said in Proverbs chapter 2 at verse 11. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you. And Paul, in a little different wording, but basically says much the same thing. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise or unwise men, but as wise. And so all of us here this morning have to be very careful with regard to the decisions that we make and how we live our day-to-day lives. If you are in high school or even perhaps middle school, you have to be careful with regard to the decisions that you make. I suspect that during those years, high school years particularly, that peer pressure is at its highest height. So you have to be careful. Or maybe you're a young adult who is single. You have to be careful about the decisions that you make. There are temptations that are particular to you in your circumstance. You are now on your own. You're no longer under your parents' care. You have the power to make decisions for yourself and to decide on your own what you're going to do and how you're going to live your life. And so this series of lessons is meant to encourage you to use that newfound authority in your life in a way that is wise and, again, with discretion. Or if you're among our number who are perhaps a young adult who is married, you have to be careful about the decisions that you make. Because now all of a sudden the decisions that you make will not only impact you, but will have an impact upon the one that you have chosen to live the rest of your life with, and ultimately the children that you bring into this world. Or maybe you fall into the category of one of our numbers. Maybe you've been married for a while now. Your children are quickly growing. And you have to be careful about the decisions that you make as you help navigate their lives, both physically and spiritually. The things that you do, the decisions that you make will have an impact upon both them and you. And at the same time, as you think about your children, you have to also pay attention to your own relationship and make decisions that will help your marriage to be strong and healthy and what God would have it to be. And I suppose that we could go on and list all of the different groups of people that we might have here at Brown Street and that exist in the world. But the point of it is this, that no matter what category you fall into, no matter what group you are in, we all have to walk with discretion. We have to walk with wisdom and be careful about the choices that we make. And so that is what this series really is about. Choose you this day. And as we continue this morning, we want to deal with another subject that is somewhat difficult. We so far have talked about dressing with distinction and a lesson in which we emphasize modest apparel. We talked last week about abiding in abstinence, in which we talked about the importance of avoiding fornication. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about pornography. And this lesson is simply entitled, Choose Not to Pursue Pornography. And there are two ways, really, that the devil tries to get into the hearts of men. Number one, the love of money. And number two, the lure of sex. And the explosion of pornography in our society today, in this country, and perhaps throughout the world, uses both of those vices. There are many people, of course, who participate in and proliferate pornography. And they do so to a large degree because it is, at the end of the day, it's a billion-dollar industry. It is amazing how much money is made from filth. But when you talk about pornography being distributed today, whether you're talking about by way of books or magazines or movies or videos or even to sex schools that they have out there, or the telephone sometimes, and of course the internet, there are billions and billions of dollars that are spent. In fact, we're told that pornography makes around $10 billion a year. And it's no wonder why there's so many people who are selling pornography. It's no wonder why it is so prevalent. A lot of people are making a lot of money, getting rich by pornography. But it's destroying the very moral fabric of our society today. And so we have to be careful. We owe it to ourselves as a congregation to, from time to time, warn all of us about the dangers of pornography. Though it is not a particularly pleasant subject to talk about, it certainly isn't a pleasant subject even to research in order to preach a sermon. It's not a pleasant subject to listen to, but we have a responsibility to all of our members, because pornography really has invaded every walk of life and every age group within society. And so we have a responsibility, and Christians have a responsibility to choose not to pursue it, because it's ruining, again, the very fiber of our society. So let's look at just a few things. First of all, let's consider a while the pursuers of pornography. Just who is it today who are buying pornography and viewing pornography? Who are those who are proliferating pornography? Who are they selling pornography to? And I wish I could stand before you and say, well, we don't have much to worry about here in this congregation. And folks like us, you know, really pornography is only sold to the ungodly and the unscrupulous populace of the world. I wish I could say that that's not true, though. It has invaded every economic status, every occupational background, any area that you can think of in life. The pornography is being used, is being sold to just about everybody, men and women. And we obviously, it is clear that men are the ones who pursue pornography the most, but even women. Some women are addicted to pornography. It is sold to the rich and the poor. It is sold to the young and the old, black and white. And again, people from all kinds of different occupational backgrounds. It is sold to the accountant as well as the auto dealer. It is sold to the banker as well as the basketball star. It is sold to the cashier and the chemist, to the dentist and the dishwasher. It's sold to everybody in every field of life. There is no boundaries when it comes down to pornography. And it's sold to some folks who are just average, ordinary, hard-working people. Some who sit on pews just like the one that you're sitting in. Some who stand behind pulpits just like this. It's a national crisis. Barna tells us that one out of seven preachers are addicted to pornography. It has no boundaries. And so it is indeed an issue that we have to worry about. It is the issue that we have to discuss and that we have to face head on. Again, not a pleasant subject, but it's a reality in our society and in this country, even in this neighborhood. There's a problem with pornography. And yet some people think, well, really, when you stop and think about it, there is no problem. After all we're talking about is sex. And we're not even talking about the engaging of sex, but just the viewing of nudity and that sort of thing. It's really not a problem. You know, a lot of people in society think that. People joke now about pornography all the time. Business people. I sometimes listen to radio programs. I'm a sports fan. I like listening to ESPN. And when I'm driving in my car, I don't do it as often anymore because I don't drive so far to work anymore. But I was 17 miles away where I lived. And I like to listen to Mike and Mike in the morning and things like that. It's amazing to me how casually pornography will come up. And it's used as a joking matter sometimes, as if it's just normal activity, and maybe it has become that in our society. Accepted in many walks of life. In fact, now, if an individual wants to participate in pornography, the man doesn't have to drive across town in the middle of the night to some adult bookstore under the cover of night. All he has to do is go into his man cave in his own house, even with his wife and children at home, and just go to his favorite website and start clicking away. And it has become a huge problem, particularly with the introduction of the internet. Consider these statistics. Pornographic websites, there's 4.2 million pornographic websites. Pornographic pages, 420 million daily. Pornographic search engine requests, 68 million requests a day. Daily pornographic emails, 2.5 billion. Internet users who view porn, 42.7% of internet users at some point will look at porn. Monthly pornographic downloads, 1.5 billion. Internet pornography sales, 4.9 billion. Money spent on internet every second, $89. You just stop and think about that. Every time a second goes away, there's $89 being spent by somebody on pornography. And consider that last one. Internet users viewing pornography every second, 28,258 viewers of pornography. Would you say we have a problem in this country? And it's not just men. Consider this is even more staggering when we consider children in internet pornography. The average age of the first internet exposure to porn, 11 years old. And 15 to 17-year-olds having multiple hardcore exposure, 80% of hardcore exposure to pornographic material. 8 to 16-year-olds having viewed porn online, 90%. 7 through 17-year-olds who would freely give out home address, 29%. And there's a connection with the next one. Daily child pornography request, 116,000. Those are pedophilers, for the most part, who are trying to find children online. They're searching, trying to find one within that 29% number who will give them an address. That's how many people go to websites. Websites offering illegal child pornography, 100,000. Youths who receive sexual solicitation, 1 in 7. I think we would all admit we have a problem. But still, people say, well, it's no big deal. There's no real danger in that. There's no reason to get all upset about it. It's just the normal behavior. Well, let's consider just for a few minutes the perils of pornography. First of all, pornography is addictive. Now, anything that is addictive should right away raise a red flag for those of us who are Christians. And a lot of it is because of the passage that was read in our hearing just a few minutes ago. Matthew chapter 6. You remember what Jesus said about masters at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and wealth. The fact of the matter is this: when you get addicted to anything, that thing, whatever it is, becomes your new master. Now you're loyal to it, whatever it is. Now you spend your time pursuing it. And when it's pornography, that's what you're pursuing. It takes the place, in some way, it takes the place of your real master, Jesus Christ. It takes time away from your service to Him. Your mind is now no longer on Jesus and serving Him as your true master. Your mind is on pornography, and you can't wait for your next click on the computer. Becomes your master. That's a problem. For those of us who are Christians, that again should raise a red flag. And obviously, those who sell pornography and those who are making all of this money, they are going to right away say, well, it's not addictive. You can't prove that pornography is addicting. And one of their only argument is there hasn't been a whole lot of scientific research to establish the fact that pornography is addictive. Well, first of all, you might remember that the tobacco industry used to make the no scientific study argument. How'd that turn out? I think everybody knows nicotine is addictive now. But even in spite of that, in spite of the lack of scientific studies that have taken place with regard to this issue, the circumstantial evidence is overwhelming. Consider a couple of things very quickly. Studies have shown that 70% of hits on internet sex sites occur between 9 and 5 on business computers. That means people are on the job, going to their favorite porn site, risking everything in doing so. It kind of reminds me of the individual who goes out on his break when it's snowing or sleeting outside and just to have a smoke. I don't need a scientific study to tell me that person is addicted to cigarettes. And when people risk their very livelihood, because in most companies now, if you get caught wasting company time visiting porn sites, you're probably going to get fired. But some people will risk exposure to their dirty little secret. They'll risk their family finding out what they're doing and their family life being ruined and again being fired from the job. And they'll risk all of that just for a few quick looks on some pornographic site. That tells me they're addicted. And then, beside that, there's evidence of withdrawal symptoms. One man said that when he tried to quit, he found it very hard to focus, he said, on my work. Depressed, pains in my stomach, mood swings, headaches. That sounds like an addiction to me. I want you to consider this other testimony of a man who was clearly addicted. 8 years of internet porn addiction. Basically, I started as an adolescent with a 56K connection and never stopped looking at porn. You remember that stat we saw a while ago? The age when someone is first exposed to porn, 11 years old. That's a serious problem. Our young people are becoming addicted. This fellow started when he was an adolescent. Never stopped looking at it. I started to collect my favorite scenes on CD. First, more than 50, and I was on a 56K. When fast, unlimited internet and recordable DVDs became available, I ended up with a collection of 250 DVDs containing religiously cataloged sections of porn scenes from mainly European movies, an average of 20 to 30 scenes per DVD. Do the math. I never had a relationship with a woman. Having porn scarlets as a reference point, of course, all the women I encountered seemed pale and unsatisfying in comparison. I went from being the first of my class to the very bottom until I dropped out for good. I ended up working on the web, making good money and having my porn one click away. Bored, watched porn. Angry, watch porn. Sad, watch porn. Stressed, watch porn. This was my life. And I didn't recognize it as an addiction. On day three of trying to quit, I was literally shaking and I began to connect the dots. I was addicted to porn. I never was able to resist more than 3 days. I tried and tried and tried. Today, I am on day five. This is a milestone for me. So I may finally be on my way out. I hope. That sound like an addiction to you? And there are a lot of people who find themselves in this very battle. Members of the body of Christ. Good young men, just like some of the young men we have here and other congregations have. Religiously minded individuals who just get wrapped up, caught up in the wave of pornography. And it is, without question, addicting. Listen to this view, this expert on addiction. He says, yes, it can be. He was asked the question, is pornography addicting? Addictive. He said, yes, it can be. According to CBS News, at one time, almost 30,000 people are viewing pornography on the internet. Of the total number that see pornography, 4 million people say that they are addicted. They are the ones who at least can open up their eyes to see that many people deceive themselves. Many, many people are hooked on porn and they don't even realize it, or at least they won't admit it to themselves. The sexual stimulation from viewing pornography releases dopamine, which creates a kind of dopamine high that can be addictive. Our bodies are constantly preparing themselves with eternal hormones and other body chemicals. For example, our stomach secretes gastric juices in anticipation of a meal. Our muscles are fed adrenaline in anticipation of athletic competition or a speech that we must give. In the same way, pornography stimulates the body to release powerful stimulants, hormones, neurotransmitters, and other natural chemicals into the bloodstream. Use of pornography creates an exotic combination of eternal stimulants which cascade through the bloodstream like liquid flesh. It is not uncommon for pornography to elicit eternal surges as addictive as cocaine. I think the evidence reveals clearly that pornography is addictive. And here's the thing that pornography has in common with this narcotic counterpart. It's just like drugs, and we've talked about it many times. We'll probably add a lesson in this series with regard to drug use. But it has something in common with drug use. It's always something that is progressive in nature. And so here's a situation where there's no question but that pornography is addictive. And before you know it, just like drug use, it is out of control. And someone says, well, I can handle just a little bit. But before you know it, you're addicted. And so we have to be very careful. I'm encouraging the young people, again, choose not to pursue it. The middle-aged people of this congregation, choose not to pursue it. Regardless of your background, again, pornography has invaded the lives of many people, many different backgrounds, rich and poor, etc. You have to make up in your mind, you're not going to pursue it. You say, oh, I'm just going to experience it. Before you know it, you'll be addicted. It is addicting. I don't care that there's a lack of scientific studies. There's enough to warn us about its addicting power. But not only that, it leads to criminal activity. In fact, when you stop and think about it, pornography itself, in some circles, is illegal. There's some kinds of porn that's illegal. There's some that violate laws and rules of obscenity. And then, of course, there's what they call kiddie porn, where in which they use young children in their pornographic pictures and magazines, and that's illegal. And there are a lot of people right now who are spending years in jail because of that crime. But when I talk about pornography leading to criminal activity, I'm not really talking about the legality of porn itself. That is something to bring up. But I'm talking more about the fact that pornography will, without question lead to violent sexual acts like rape and child molestation? And once again, as you can anticipate, those who are selling it and those who are getting rich off of it will scream as loud as they can that there is no connection between those violent crimes and the use of pornography. But they're just wrong about that. There is a very real connection. And people who know that sort of thing and who are involved in things of that nature testify about it all the time. The FBI's statistics show that pornography is found at 80% of the scenes of violent sex crimes or in the home of the perpetrators. That's real. There's a connection. Unless you just close your eyes to it, that there's a connection there. 86% of convicted rapists said that they were regular users of pornography, with 57% admitting direct imitation of the pornographic scenes that they acted out in the commission of their rapes. Again, I don't know how you deny these things. In the United States Postal Inspection Service study, 80% of pursuers of child pornography were active abusers. There's a danger, without any question whatsoever. In 2000, a Federal Bureau of Prison study, 76 of the offenders convicted of internet-related crimes against children also admitted to sex contact crimes with children. And what about this? Dr. James Dobson interviewed Ted Bundy. We remember Ted Bundy, don't we? Some of you who are a little younger, maybe not, but he was one of this nation's most notorious serial killers. On the day before his execution, Ted Bundy said, "I have lived in prison a long time now, and I have met a lot of men who were motivated to violence just like me. And without exception, every one of them was deeply involved in pornography. Without a question, deeply influenced and consumed by an addiction to pornography. Unless society deals with pornography that depicts violence, lots of kids are going to be dead tomorrow." And say what you want about Ted Bundy. He was a monster. But he is just a minute. He's about to die. The next day he was executed. And he's just telling the truth there. He was motivated by pornography. And a lot of the men that he knew in prison motivated by the same thing. And a lot of men today who commit violent crimes against children and women motivated by pornography. That's just a fact. Are you telling me, preacher, just because I've read a Playboy magazine that now all of a sudden I'm going to go out and start killing people, you think I'm going to become a serial killer? Well, that's not really what I'm saying. There are different levels. Let me just read this for a second. This is a 1986 final report of the Attorney General's Commission on Pornography. Examined five different classes of material: sexual violent material, nonviolent materials depicting degradation, domination, and subordination or humiliation. Then number three, nonviolent and non-degrading materials. Number four, nudity. Number five, child pornography. The first two categories demonstrate negative effects on behavior. The third showed mixed results. The fourth was not found harmful, but the commissioners agreed it was morally objectionable. The fifth involved sexual exploitation and was already outlawed. Now, here's the point. The reason I put this up is to make this point, and I hope very strongly. I understand. We don't have to fabricate anything. I understand there's different kinds of pornography, and there's different levels of it. And it would, when it comes down to individuals going out there and committing crimes because of what they have viewed with regard to pornographic material, they're looking at hardcore porn. There's no doubt about that. But remember what we said about narcotics a couple of minutes ago? It shares this very thing in common with narcotics. It's always progressive. If someone begins doing drugs, it might be something as simple as marijuana. That's not just a recreational drug. We'll talk about that in a different lesson. But someone starts off with that, and before you know it, he or she is hooked on cocaine or heroin or one of the other stronger drugs. That's just the nature of drug use. porn is exactly the same way. It may start with just a Playboy magazine. It may start with something less than that. It may start just viewing the Sports Illustrated calendar of the year. Oh, there's no nudity, someone says. Not biblically speaking, we found out that is nudity. But there's no nakedness when you're looking at one of those calendars. People are putting them out left and right. ESPN has one that's put out now. They're not naked. It's okay if I view that just a little bit. But before you know it, that won't satisfy you. It's exactly like drugs. Then you'll go to the Playboy. Then next thing you know, just like that, you'll be visiting some of these adult bookstores. Before you can even blink, you'll find yourself viewing hardcore porn, and that's the stuff that makes criminals. And you don't know but that it won't be you. I don't care what your background is. I don't care how well you're doing. I don't care how acceptable you are in your various circles. You might become the next Ted Bundy just because you view pornography right now. Choose not to pursue it. Because you don't know where it's going to end. There is no question that it leads ultimately to violent crimes. It destroys marriages. Can you believe that there are some people who think that pornography is good for marriage? That is a common belief among highly educated individuals in our society. Some think, listen, when a man looks at pornography, then he's not going to go out and have a real girlfriend or a mistress. He'll be satisfied just by his porn. That's the reasoning of some people. It's wrong, first of all. But it's illogical to think that a man can view hundreds of beautiful, perfectly formed, surgically altered women, and that doesn't have a negative impact upon his marriage. That's just ignorance. The truth is, it does. And again, it's borne out in studies. A recent meeting of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, 2/3 of the divorce lawyers who attended said excessive interest in pornography played a significant role in divorces in the past year. You want to know who wants you to look at porn? The divorce lawyers. They want your business. They know what it leads to. What about another real life example? The marriage of Christie Brinkley and Peter Cook collapsed the old-fashioned way in 2006 when she discovered that he was sleeping with his 18-year-old assistant. But their divorce trial this summer was a distinctly internet-age affair. Having insisted on keeping the proceedings open to the media, Brinkley and her lawyers served up a long list of juicy allegations about Cook's taste in online porn. The $3,000 a month he dropped on adult websites, the nude photos he posted online, and the user's name he favored while surfing swinger sites. It destroyed his marriage. And that's the end result of porn. It's what it does. Some I know of cases where marriages have survived an addiction to pornography. But there are many, many cases where it simply does not survive. A woman in Texas, in a letter to the National Coalition, wrote, "Pornography has been a part of my husband's life since he was a teenager. I have begged and pleaded for him to understand how his interest in everyone else's body and sex life is ruling our marriage. How can a woman close her eyes to the fact that a man prefers to watch a movie than to be with her?" Husbands, you cannot be addicted to porn and think that it doesn't have a negative effect upon the thinking of your wife, even if she doesn't admit it. There are some wives and some husbands on the other end of that. That's rare, more rare, but there are some spouses just deceiving themselves how they're really impacted by their spouse viewing pornography. It's devastating. And we just should be able to understand why it is. Laura Hall's husband, Jack, began an innocent fascination with soft porn pornography that later led to frequent attendance to strip clubs and visits to prostitutes. It's progressive. It's borne out over and over again. After more than 18 years of marriage, Laura discovered Jack's behavior and wrote a book, An Affair of the Mind, telling her story and exploring how infidelity of the mind is linked to infidelity of the body. The whole purpose of pornography is to elicit a sexual response. Whether it's a video, a magazine, or adult entertainment, the goal is to arouse the sexual passion of the viewers. When our sexual passions are aroused by someone other than our spouse, it's only human nature to compare our spouse's sexiness to the sexiness of the one we're attracted to. So, what happens to our view of our spouse when we can enjoy a beautifully made-up airbrush centerfold? Studies show, listen to it, the spouse loses. And that's exactly right. Your spouse is going to lose. In my situation, although I was careful with my clothes and figure, I found that my husband was increasingly critical of the way I looked. Even when friends and acquaintances told me that I was an attractive woman, I wasn't attractive enough to compete with eternally young, surgically altered models. Jack also expressed irritation when I wasn't comfortable with some of the sexual practices he had seen in his pornographic magazines. In the end, he lost all interest in me as a sexual partner. This had a devastating impact on my view of my worth as a woman. It created such despair in me that I began to let my appearance go. At last, I looked the way his rejection made me feel, totally unloving. Over the years, I've spoken with other women who have had similar experiences. They tried extra hard to be attractive to their husbands, but the year after year battering of constant comparison with other women and the continual attack of their desirability as sexual partner wounded their spirits to such a point that they gave up and became an exact opposite of the gorgeous, beautiful, made-up women their husbands kept trying to force them to become. Ironic, isn't it, how pornography creates the exact opposite in real life of what it promises in fantasy life. I know these quotes are long, and I know that they're kind of blunt. But the fact of the matter is, I want the husband, I could have omitted some of this, but I want especially those of you who are husbands, there are wives who are addicted to pornography too. But husbands are the most numerous clientele of pornography. We realize that. And husbands, I want you to know how you make your wife feel. Or even if you're not involved in it yet, if you don't choose not to pursue it, how you will hurt your wife. The one that you've become one flesh with. The one who should be more important to you than anybody and anything else except for God Himself. This is what you're going to put her through if you get obsessed with pornography. And it's exactly where it will lead. It leads there over and over again. Pornography is degrading to women. Every woman here this morning should look with disgust upon pornography. We live in a society where some women are pushing it. Some women are saying, it's not that big of a deal if my husband uses it or watches it. Now, I'm absolutely convinced that they're lying to themselves in the end. It's like in some of these marriages where a man has two or three wives, and you talk to all three wives, and they all say, oh, we like this arrangement. No, they don't. They're deceiving themselves. And there's a lot of that going on with pornography. Just one quote with regard to this. Pornography is made mainly by men for men. Now, that's not to say that all porn as a product is marketed towards men, but the vast majority of it is, because most pornography is made from the perspective of a man, one who only sees the woman's outer shell. Her expression is hollow. Her eyes are vacant. Her mouth open. Her body vulnerable. Pornography takes a young woman, filters out the complications of her personality and the depths of her intellect, and leaves only a thing, not really something to be seen as a person, but an object. On that level, pornography objectifies women. And that's why every woman here should be disgusted with it. And every man here who understands the real worth of the woman, who understands that she has been created in the image of God just like you. When you think of what pornography does to women, it ought to disgust you too. And you ought to reject it. And one of the things that the pornography industry wants, in order for it to sell and be popular, they have to dehumanize the woman. Because men aren't going to watch. Now, there's some exception to this because we live in a sick society. But for the most part, women are not going to, or men are not going to view pornography if there's a woman in it that they're real close to. In other words, a man's not going to look at pornography that involves his sister. And the powers to be understand this. So they do everything they can to dehumanize the women in their pictures, in their magazines, to make them less than human, just shells. So that the man will just view the woman as an object and nothing more. But in every movie that is made, in every magazine that is put out, the women in those magazines and books are real people. They're daughters of somebody. They're sisters of somebody. They're mothers of somebody. They're real people, not just objects. And we ought to despise how they are used in pornography with every fiber of our being. And then, pornography is sinful. All of this stuff that we looked at is true and real. And every one of these things should cause us to choose not to pursue pornography. But at the end of the day, I don't care if you prove that it's addictive or if you don't. I don't care if you can prove that it's directly connected with violent crimes or not. The fact of the matter is, it's a sin against God. Pornography is sinful. Those who participate in it are sinful. Those who buy magazines are involved in sin. Every aspect of pornography is sin before the eyes of God. And you cannot look at it, any kind of it, mild or hardcore, you can't look at it and be a Christian. You just can't. It's a violation of God's will. And I'll put some things up. I know that we're taking some time with this, but just quickly and mark down the passages. Pornography distorts God's gift of sex, which should be shared only within the bonds of marriage. Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7. The Hebrew writer talked about how marriage is honorable and all. But of course, fornication and adultery is abhorred by God. It is sin. Any sex outside of the marriage bond is sinful. And obviously, pornography involves that. Scripture specifically condemns the practice that results from pornography. Sexual exposure, adultery, bestiality, homosexuality, incest, prostitution, all of those things are involved in particularly hardcore pornography. But it's all involved and it's all sinful. There's no area of it that's not sinful. It violates scripture after scripture, principle after principle. That should be held high by those of us who are Christians. Premarital, extramarital sex condemned. We looked at that last week and looked at those very passages, 1 Corinthians 6 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at verse 3. Thoughts of sexual immorality, often fed by pornographic material, are condemned. Matthew 5 at verse 28, Jesus talked about adultery of the heart, which of course we can commit, and you do commit if you're married and you look at any kind of pornographic material. You've committed adultery of the heart. There's little doubt about that. Prevailing against pornography as we close. First of all, if you're a non-user, fill your mind with God's Word. Pornography is very real. It has become the new norm in our society today. It's acceptable. Even by those who are in positions of power because they're involved in it. If you're going to avoid it, you have to fill your mind with something else. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Fill your mind with things that are good and honest and pure, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 4 at verse 8. Let the Word of God dwell in your heart richly, Paul said in another place. You want to protect yourself against porn? Fill your mind with God's Word. Stay active in God's work. That's how you avoid pornography. You fill your mind with the Word of God and stay busy doing the work of the Lord. That will help you. You'll have less time being all by yourself by a computer somewhere looking at porn. Be an active Christian. That's how you avoid pornography. flee sin. Do whatever you have to do to stay away from pornography. I tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not an easy situation in our society today because of how loose sexually our society is. You men, when you get a postcard in the mail advertising Victoria's Secret, don't look at it. Rip it up and throw it away right away. Flee sin. If you're walking down the mall, don't look at these stores that are advertising half-naked women. Look the other way. Do everything you can to flee the sin of pornography. Because one look can captivate you and cause you to spiral down into an addiction to pornography. If you are a user, and let me tell you right now, I'm not naive. I would say the same thing I'm about to say if this congregation was half its size. If we had 100 members, it would be just as true as having 200 members. The fact of the matter is, it would be rare indeed if there's not someone, and probably several, in this audience right now who is not hooked on pornography. That's just a fact. The statistics bear it out. And we want to help you. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just means that you've gotten caught up in something that is sinful and it's hard to break loose of any kind of addiction. I don't care what it is. And we want to help you with that. For users, admit, first of all, that there's a problem. Sin is deceitful. If you find yourself looking at just a little bit of porn, of the most mild sort of it, that's a problem. Don't try to convince yourself, well, I'm not involved in hardcore porn. I'm not addicted to it. There's a lot of addicts who think they're not addicted. If you look at just a little bit, you have a problem. You need to admit the problem to yourself. First of all, repent of your sin. Make up in your mind that you're going to stop. Luke 13 at verse 3. Fight the good fight. Don't quit when you stumble. This is difficult stuff. If you've been watching porn, you're not going to give it up just like that. Perhaps you can. Some people can do that, but the average person isn't. You might fall off the wagon, so to speak. Fight the good fight. It's worth the battle. You can get it out of your system. You may have to battle, but fight the fight. Get rid of all the temptation. If it's a computer that is your vice, get rid of it. If it's a TV, get rid of it or get rid of the channels that show the pornography. Anything that triggers it, get it out of your life. Apply the preventatives for non-users. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Be more active in the work of the local church. Do these kind of things. And I just add something else to it. Be accountable. You have a problem. Talk to the elders here about it. If you're a member here at Brown Street, you ought to be ashamed of it, but not to the point where you don't ask for help. The people won't be judgmental. We all get caught up in sin. We're all sinners, regardless of what the sin is. With this particular one, you might need some help. You might need some accountability. Someone you can call to help you when you feel the urge to look at some kind of pornography. Talk to the elders. They'll help you the best they can. They'll pray for you. That's why they're here, to watch over our souls. But do what you can to kick that habit of pornography. Let me close very quickly with Diana's story. My name is Diane. I've always felt that pornography was bad, that it was harmful, but I felt that it didn't affect me personally. No member of my family ever read pornography. My husband's family didn't read pornography. We live in a small, close-knit community. Pornography is not an issue here. I basically felt immune to its effects. A year ago in April, my world was shattered by the effects of pornography. My 3-year-old daughter was raped and violently and violated in every manner you can imagine by a 12-year-old boy. When they arrested the young man, we were told that they would surely find sexual abuse in his background, and that this is the reason he did it on my daughter. After a thorough psychosexual evaluation, they came to one conclusion. There was a single motivating factor in what he did to my baby. He was exposed to pornography at a very vulnerable time in his life. What he saw on those pages not only gave him the ideas of what to do and how to do it, but it gave him the permission to treat females in a degrading and debasing manner. Since he was only 12 years old, he needed to look for a female who was younger than him who wouldn't fight back. And so he raped and molested my daughter. I have heard it said that pornography is a victimless crime. I'm standing here before you, a victim of pornography. My little girl is a victim of pornography. My husband is a victim of pornography. Even my four other children are victims. How do you explain to a 14-year-old boy that his favorite little sister has been raped and violated in such a heinous manner? But I'm also standing here before you, and from my heart, I can tell you that this young man was a victim. He came from a good family. This wasn't a boy who was in a gang. He had never been in trouble with the law. He came from an intact family in a small community where everybody knows everybody. His parents sent him to a youth camp thinking that they were going to enrich his life with these 2 weeks in summer youth camp. At that point, he was exposed to pornography. He is a victim. His family is a victim. His mother loves him as much as I love my little girl. And his mother is as shattered as I am. Something is seriously wrong in this country when we protect the rights of a handful of men to make billions at the expense of women and children. And all of that is right, isn't it? It is not a victimless crime. It is not innocent to view porn, to promote that industry that does so much damage. We have a choice to make, all of us, again. This is not a lesson that is particular to the young people in this case. It is a lesson that all of us need to hear. All of us need to understand the dangers, the perils of pornography. And we need to make a choice. Choose not to pursue it. It only leads to danger and damage of the soul and of the body and of the mind. We need to do what we can to stay away from it. I appreciate your good attention in a lesson like this, but it needs to be preached. And we need to take it seriously and do what we can to avoid it. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? We haven't said much about obeying the gospel of Christ. The wonderful thing about the gospel is no matter who you are here this morning, regardless of the sins that you've been involved in, maybe you have been involved in heinous sins like pornography or other sins. The fact of the matter is your sins can be washed away. You can become whole in the sight of God. You can be viewed before God as if you haven't sinned just by obeying the gospel of Christ. Regardless of what that sin is, why not obey the gospel? Repent of your sins and be baptized, Acts 2 and at verse 38. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can have fellowship with God right now, and all of your past can be just that, in the past. All you have to do is respond. Put on Jesus in the water of baptism. Do it right now as we together stand and sing.